Welcome to the fifth episode of I Digress, a podcast about nothing. I'm Sydney Page, and today we're discussing the greatest sports movies you've never heard of. But before we start, what exactly makes a great sports movie? What makes Rocky or Rudy or Million Dollar Baby or Remember the Titans so spectacular?
The underdog. It's all about the underdog.
That's true. Every sports movie ever.
It's all about somebody achieving something they weren't supposed to achieve. That's what separates sports movies from every other movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I can't name a single sports movie that wasn't about the underdog.
Well, that's probably because they made them and they were really boring.
Yeah. No one wants to see the pro win again.
Yeah, I think people do that in real sports too. You're always rooting for the underdog. They just don't win that often.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the magic of movies. Like, you can always make your own ending. Real life doesn't work that way all the time.
That's true.
But I think
sports movies are really ever based off real stories because it's just the pros win over and over again, and that's not interesting.
Yeah. In fact, in a lot of movies, the MVP or the best player is the bad guy.
Yeah. What's your favorite sports movie of all time?
Probably Rocky 1-4.
5 and 6 weren't bad. They weren't as good as the other four, but they weren't bad movies.
I think we should have just stopped with Rocky beating the Russians.
Maybe.
He single-handedly ended the Cold War. And that's the great thing about Rocky IV is he wasn't the underdog. He was the world champ. Right. He was rich and famous by that point. So they had to find a way to make him the underdog. The only way you make him the underdog is you send him to communist Russia and fight an entire country.
Kills whatever he touches.
Exactly.
With Rocky V, Rocky V and VI, they both sort of made him the underdog again.
Well, they tried to go back to the roots and create an underdog situation with him, losing all of his money and everything, but I think the magic was gone by that point.
Yeah, maybe sports movies shouldn't have sequels.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe they should just stop after 4.
Okay. So the first on our list is Kingpin, starring Woody Harrelson. Roy Munson is a young bowler with a promising career ahead of him until a disreputable colleague, Ernie McCracken, tricks him into participating in a con game that ends with Roy losing his bowling hand. 17 years later, Roy is barely getting by when he discovers Ishmael, an Amish bowling prodigy. In order to save his farm, Ishmael agrees to go with Roy to Reno to win the bowling championship and the $1 million prize. I didn't think this movie was that great. But granted, I tried to watch it today, and I wasn't able to finish it because I had to go somewhere. So I don't know the ending, and I can't really say how I completely feel about it. But what I saw, it seemed like it was kind of lame.
All right, I recommended this movie. I remember this movie. I remember liking it a lot. And first of all, I love Farrelly Brothers movies. They're so funny. I don't know why they make me laugh nonstop. Maybe it's the humor I get. Maybe it's not for everybody, but I thought it was hilarious. 12-year-old
boy humor.
Exactly. And then you add in Woody Harrelson, Randy Quaid, and Bill Murray. Those guys are hilarious.
But I did think Bill Murray's character is funny. But this movie has my new favorite catchphrase.
Oh, yeah?
You put that in a bottle, and you got something sweeter than Yoo-Hoo. I love that. I'm going to start using that every day.
Well, I do think you should go back and finish it because the ending is hilarious and Roy gets the best nickname ever. Shall I spoil it for you?
Sure.
The Rubber Man. With even an endorsement from Trojan Condoms.
All right, the second movie is Leatherheads. In 1920, when pro football is less popular than the WNBA is today, and college football is all the rave, Dodge Connolly, played by George Clooney, is the captain of a pro team and wants to give the sagging sport a boost and capture the country's attention. Carter Rutherford, played by John Krasinski, is a war hero and a college football star, and is about to see the end of his football career when he's done with college. but Connolly convinces him if he goes pro, he won't regret it, and recruits Rutherford to play for his team. Newswoman Lexi Littleton accompanies the team on the road and goes digging for dirt on Carter, while both Dodge and Carter vie for her affection. This one, again, not the best movie in the world. They tried way too hard to make it seem like they were in the 1920s with the outfits and just the way they spoke. Like, all the guys referred to other guys as chaps and fellas, and the way Renee Zellweger, or whatever her name is, talked.
Can we agree that George Clooney and Renee Zellweger aren't good actors?
Yeah.
Like, I really can't think of anything that they were ever good in. I realize they've been in good movies like Ocean's 11.
She wasn't in that, just George Clooney.
Right, but I don't think they made the movie, and I don't think they're particularly good actors.
She was good in Jerry Maguire. That's the only movie I've seen her in that I liked. Every other movie of hers isn't good.
Jerry Maguire was a good movie. I don't know that she was that good.
Yeah. That movie wasn't good because of her.
I feel like you could put anyone in there and have just as good of a movie.
Yeah. But like, what is it? That Bridget Jones's Diary? Awful. That one with Keanu Reeves, the Truth or something like that. I watched it the other day and then you put it on. I was like, I watched this last night. And he was like, was it good? You're like, was it good? It wasn't good.
Thanks for saving me.
Keanu Reeves movies go two ways. Either you've heard of them and they're really good, or you've never heard of them because they're terrible.
And then they're terrible actors. Like, he cannot carry a movie. It's either going to be good or
that's
it's
the
not.
Thing. He's like the only actor out there that's not good but has great movies.
Lucky, I guess. What about Krasinski? Do you think he's a good actor?
I do. I like his movies, and I like The Office. I liked Jack Ryan.
I feel like maybe I like his movies just because I like The Office.
That may be true. Quiet Place was good. He's been in a few other things. I can't name them off the top of my head. But yeah, Leatherheads, not that great. I wouldn't recommend you waste your time with this.
All right. Well, we won't waste any more time with this.
All right. Tin Cup. Now we're into the good sports movies that you've never heard of. Roy McAvoy, played by Kevin Costner, who is a good actor.
He's a very good actor.
Or Roy McAvoy, nicknamed Tin Cup, is a sellout college golf star, now barely keeping his small golf range afloat. Is that what it's called? Golf range? I don't actually know.
Driving range.
When he begins to give lessons to Molly Griswold, he instantly falls for her. But she is dating a pro golfer and Roy's arch enemy, David Sims. In order to beat Sims and impress Molly, Roy enters the U.S. Open, the biggest golf tournament in the world.
This is a movie that's funny because it's an entirely different kind of funny. It's funny through mishaps and weird circumstances, and you could imagine this being a real event.
The U.S. Open is a real event.
No, like you can imagine this really being somebody's life.
Yeah.
And not like a silly movie like
Dodgeball or Kingpin.
Exactly. Renee Russo, I think, is a very good actress.
Yeah, I like her movies too.
Cheech Marin did a great job in this movie.
Who was he? David Sims?
Cheech Marin was the caddy.
Oh, Romeo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked all the side characters too in this movie. Romeo, the stripper ex-girlfriend, all the other golf players that just hung around Tin Cup. They were all really great and funny.
Yeah. I remember the reason why I suggested this movie is because I remember when it came out, I heard it was terrible. And I didn't watch it right away. And it probably took me 10 years before I did watch it. And then when I did watch it, I thought, this is a really good movie. It was enjoyable. And I liked the ending.
I don't know that I've ever seen a Kevin Costner movie I didn't like.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't one of my favorites. My favorites are, like, I don't know, The Postman or A Better World. Was that what it was called? Directed by Clint Eastwood?
Perfect World. We could probably do a whole other podcast on Kevin Costner movies.
His movies are so great. Message in a Bottle.
And if you haven't seen Yellowstone, it's fantastic.
I haven't seen Yellowstone.
Anyway, I did like it. I liked the end. I thought it had some really funny moments. And this is one of those movies where you were rooting for him, but you're kind of not rooting for him, and you weren't really sure, and good movies do that.
But even though this was a great movie, and even though the golf was fun to watch, you know what it made me realize? Golf is the most boring sport in the entire world. There's this one part where I don't know what he did exactly. He beat par or something. I don't know. Like something most pro golfers can't do. It was this whole big thing. He broke some kind of record. But the ball was like 3 feet from the hole. And he looks at it for a second and he just puts it in. And everyone starts to cheer. I'm like, that was it? That's one of the most climactic points to the movie. That was boring.
You should digress yourself.
I know that you like golfing, even though you're not good at it.
I am a great golfer, even though I haven't played in a long
you
time.
You can't putt.
I can't putt. I do have a weakness. That is the great thing about golf, though.
Hey,
there's always
Happy
a weakness.
Happy Gilmore couldn't putt either. Happy Gilmore makes me think golfing is not boring. This movie makes me think golfing is boring.
Well, too bad Happy Gilmore was so big, or we would be talking about that.
Okay, the next on our list, I don't know that this is better or worse than Tin Cup, but Over the Top.
Over the Top.
One of Stallone's most underrated movies, probably because his other ones are so much better, but Lincoln Hawk, a trucker who dabbles in arm wrestling, takes his estranged son Michael on the road with him to Vegas to compete in the Arm Wrestling World Championship. Along the way, Michael's mother, who has become ill, grows sicker and sicker, and her wealthy father doesn't want his grandson bonding with Hawk, so he sends his thugs to bring Michael back. This is probably the only arm wrestling movie that's ever been made.
Yeah, there's probably a reason for that. Would you rather watch golf or arm wrestling?
Golf.
Have you ever watched a real arm wrestling tournament?
No.
Not exciting at all.
Well, that's the same thing with all these movies. I love football movies. I don't know what it is about football movies. Just everyone I've ever seen, except for Leatherheads, I really love.
Because football's awesome.
But if I try to watch a football game, I can't stand it. It's so boring. I mean, I know that's a matter of opinion. A lot of people do like football. And, you know, I like rooting for the teams and stuff, but I just don't want to sit down and watch a game.
Yeah. Anyway, and Over the Top, it's not just that it's arm wrestling. He was also a truck driver.
That, yeah.
And he had a weight set up in his truck.
He just, his arm wrestling arm all day long.
Just work one muscle all day long.
But it's also that it's Stallone.
Yeah. It's totally 80s, though. If you want to watch an 80s movie, it's totally 80s.
Yeah. That one is criminally underrated. But the next movie, The Winning Season.
I will say one more thing about Over the Top.
Yes.
I don't know anybody that doesn't turn their hat around and get some power from it.
The Winning Season. Bill Greaves, a former basketball coach but now a busboy, is approached by an old high school principal friend of his, an old friend that is now a high school principal, to coach the varsity team at his school, the girls' varsity team. Bill has doubts about this because, you know, he doesn't believe in girls' basketball, and the team is in very good shape, and his estranged daughter is on one of the competing teams. But ultimately, he takes on the job. That wasn't a very good description. I was kind of making it up as I went. But I like this movie. I like basketball movies, too. Not as much as football movies. But this one's really sweet, really cute, really funny.
Yeah. What is the actor's name? I'm drawing a blank. Sam. Anyway, he's a fantastic actor. Very underrated actor. Doesn't look much. Doesn't really.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, that's right. But this is a great movie for several reasons. And this is actually the meat of the list. Because it deals with issues more than just basketball. I mean, basketball is the focus. But it deals with his alcoholism, his relationship problems. Mm-hmm. All those different struggles he's got to get through. And then within the relationships, he's got this relationship, this estranged relationship with his daughter, but he makes almost this father-daughter relationship with this whole new group of girls.
Yeah.
And they even address one point in the thing that they all come from broken homes.
Most of their dads have left, or their parents are divorced, and they just get along with him really well.
And so it's a whole group of underdogs. It's very similar to like the Bad News Bears, but I think it's done way much better. And I doubt there's very many people that have really heard of this movie. It's very good.
Yeah, it's a sweet movie. I like this one a lot. I really like the part where he won't let his daughter date that guy because he has bad form. Watching him shoot hoops at the arcade. What do you want to hang around with this guy for? He's got bad form.
Yeah, that's good.
Next on our list, and this is one of my favorites because, as I said before, love football movies, Necessary Roughness. I think my favorite thing about this might be the title. I love that title. I love it when movies have good titles, and this is a really great one. When a university's football team is almost entirely purged because the players were doping, gambling, and breaking rules like that, two coaches must put together an entirely new team from the student body. Does this ever happen in real life?
I highly doubt it.
It seems like a lot of this movie was unrealistic. This includes
all
of it. This includes unconventional approaches such as junior professor Andre Kim, female soccer player Lucy Draper for the place kicker, and the main character Paul Blake, an almost 40-year-old high school star that never went to college. The coach brings him back to be the team's quarterback. On top of a team of unusual or mediocre players, they must also compete with the dean, who will do anything he can to get the team shut down, as far as I could tell, just because he simply didn't like football. I guess that would be me.
Huh. I just noticed that it says it is actually based off a real event from Southern Methodist University.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
I guess I didn't do enough research into this.
Apparently not. Good movie either way. I thought it had really good acting. One of the points I really liked was the announcer, Rob Schneider. That was hilarious. I still repeat that sometimes today.
What did he say?
The Fumbleruski guy. Fumblerama.
It seems like sports movies always do really good with having funny announcers. Like, one of the movies that we're about to talk about in a minute, we'll address that, has a funny announcer, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that this had that I think is actually something that we may see someday was the female kicker. And I know that there was a thing, I think it was last year, the year before, where it was Carly Lloyd was going to try out for a team. Yeah. And I think this is something we might actually see.
I thought she got offered the spot, but then she rejected it.
I'm not really sure, but I think that, or maybe a left-handed relief pitcher could be the breakthrough we see.
I have no idea what a left-handed relief pitcher is because, as I said before, I don't understand football.
That's not even football. That's baseball.
Oh. Don't understand that either.
In baseball, you have a whole bunch of pitchers that come in for certain circumstances. And so if somebody has a particular skill and left-handed pitching is a particular skill and maybe they throw a really mean curveball or splitter and they have a batter that can't face that, they'll bring in that type of pitcher just to face that kind of batter.
That's not something I care about.
Well, being left-handed and able to throw the ball pretty good, you should practice.
Maybe I should. I am pretty good at throwing a baseball. I did like the female place kicker, though. I thought that was a cool thing. And I think it'd be cool if one day there was a girl in the NFL, because women's professional football shouldn't even be a thing. That's less of a thing than the WNBA is.
Well, you said it, not me.
I mean, people make jokes about the WNBA, but nobody even addresses professional female football.
Well, they do play in their lingerie, so they do get some audience.
Like, the only reason I know it exists is because someone on Big Brother a couple years ago was a pro woman football player. And I remember thinking, why does that exist? Why does she waste her life with that? But anyways, I digress.
Yeah, you should.
Another
character I really liked was the center.
Was that the big guy?
Yeah, the big guy. He's the center, the blocker, and that's kind of, he's got that mentality through everything, through the whole movie.
I liked his relationship with the place kicker, the Lucy Draper, the female. That was cute.
Yeah, and I think that it goes to show that people like, kind of like The Blind Side, it goes to show that people like that, they have a protective mentality to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that everything about this movie was, every little subplot was really sweet and fun to watch. And, you know, I'll say it again, it's a football movie, it's great. Like The Waterboy, there's another good one.
Yeah, a little bit different. Wish that could have been on the list.
A little bit different than Remember the Titans, but... The Waterboy's way too popular for this list.
Most football movies are.
Yeah, that's because they're all great. And I'm surprised this one isn't more popular.
I was trying to think of a football movie that's good that wasn't popular, and I couldn't think of one.
Mm-hmm. In my opinion, those are the best kind of sports movies. But next, The Natural with... I'm drawing a blank. What's his name?
Robert Redford.
On his way to a tryout for the Chicago Cubs, pitcher Roy Hobbs, on his way to being one of the best baseball players the world has ever seen, is shot and taken out of the running. 16 years later, Hobbs returns as a rookie in the worst team in the league, the New York Knights.
Boy, the Knights do suck.
They're a real team?
No.
Oh, I didn't think they were. I'd never heard of them before.
Not now. I don't know. They might have been back then.
Baseball movies are good too. A League of Their Own, Bad News Bears, whatever else. But in this one, I think this one's better than all those. And I don't know, we might be off on it being one you've never heard of. It might be too popular for this list, but I think it's a really good movie. Great comeback story, another underdog story.
It's a bit of an older movie. I don't know how many people have actually seen it, but I really liked it. I thought I had some great points. It's more than even just an underdog and comeback. He's an underdog in many times throughout the movie and keeps coming back. And I thought that was really good. He starts out as a pitcher. He gets hurt and can't pitch and comes back as a hitter, as an unknown. It's really good.
Yeah. And then, what?
No, I just thought... you know, the bat made from the wood of a tree struck by lightning. That's still famous to this day.
I forgot about that part. I think I haven't seen it in a while, so don't hold me to this. But I think my favorite part of what I remember was when he took out the whammer, Babe Ruth.
By the train tracks.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when he knocked the cover off the ball.
I changed my mind. Now that you say it, I remember that part. That's my favorite part. Was that when all the lights started exploding?
No, that was a different scene. But
I'm going to have to rewatch the movie.
He says, go knock the cover off the ball. And he went and knocked the cover off the ball.
Right. I forgot about all that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Goon. A hockey movie. Bouncer Doug Glatt is discovered by the coach of the hockey team, the Orangetown Assassins, and puts Doug on his team to fight. Realizing how incredible Doug's skills are, the coach sends him to Canada to play for the Halifax Highlanders. There, Doug is tasked with protecting star player Javier Laflamme, I don't think I'm saying that right, who hasn't been the same since his almost life-ending injury a few years earlier, as well as fighting the player who injured Laflamme, Ross, the boss, Ray, the tough guy on the ice before Doug rolled into town. This is completely vulgar and inappropriate, but I love this movie. From the first time I saw it, I was like, this is so funny. This is one of my favorite sports movies. Are there other sports movies about hockey? With Kurt Russell. That's the only other one I can name.
There's a lot of hockey movies, and they all kind of center around the team. You think like the Mighty Ducks or something like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
But not maybe one central character of the team. But if it does focus on that one central character of the team, it's always some kind of goal scorer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is focused
on the goon.
The guy that has one responsibility, and it's to go in and make hockey less toothful.
Yeah, it's so funny. He'll just fight anybody. When their goalie gets knocked out of the way, so he just throws himself in front of the puck, gets a tooth knocked out, then he lays in front of the goal, and for the last 5 seconds of the game, the other team's just trying to smack him in the face with their clubs to get the puck in there. And then I love, the buzzer goes off, and his entire team rushes the ice and starts beating up the opposing team. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Liev Schreiber plays the boss. He's really good. I like everything Liev Schreiber's
I watched this movie because Doug Glass, played by Sean William Scott, who I really like. Like, every movie or show I've seen him in, I've really loved. And he's a pretty underrated actor. Right now, I think he's on Lethal Weapon, unless that show ended. But he was also in the Dukes of Hazzard remake.
On a side note, if you want to watch another movie that you probably never heard of with Liev Schreiber, it is Chuck, I believe, about Chuck Wepner, who was a boxer in the 70s, and he's the guy that Rocky took the inspiration from to write the Rocky films. Yes.
Oh, I thought
he actually fought Muhammad Ali in the 70s. He was kind of an unknown, and
that's who Apollo's based on, I'm guessing.
Yeah. It's pretty, the movie's pretty much a ripoff of this guy's life. That's addressed in the movie.
This movie is actually based on Doug Glatt is a real person, which that cracks me up. As we said before, sports movies aren't based on real stories because stuff like this never really happens. But this one, and of all the movies on this list, this is the last one besides, I don't know, Kingpin, that I would think would be based on a true story. But it is, and I think that's so funny because if you watched this movie, you would think there's no way this is real.
Another thing that I love, and I don't go to many sporting events, but I really do love hockey sporting events. And yeah. I don't think I've ever been to a hockey game without seeing somebody wearing a Glatt jersey.
Yes, I saw one, I was like, I need to get me one of those. And I still haven't. That was months ago. But, and it's this movie, it's not just Doug that's great. It's all the other players on the team. They all have little subplots, and they all have just little things about them that were all really funny. And the side characters, like his brother and his best friend, and Ava, the girl that he goes after in this movie. I would highly recommend this one.
Enjoy it, because Goon 2 sucks.
I disagree. Last of the Enforcers was not as good as the original, that's for sure. But I didn't think it sucked. I'm glad that they made that one. And I enjoy watching it, if Goon isn't free anywhere. But I still think that that one was good.
All right.
This is kind of Kingpin. So Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story with Vince Vaughn. Kingpin is the dodgeball for the bowling world. Goon is the dodgeball for the hockey world.
I can see that.
Okay, next. This is the final movie on our list. And this is probably my favorite one on the list. This is probably my favorite underrated sports movie of all time.
And probably almost nobody has heard of this movie.
Almost nobody. How much did this movie make? Not 7 million. That was, Goon made 7 million.
This was a Canadian independent film.
Right.
So it probably didn't make a whole lot. I'm not sure how much it made, but it was probably never in much for theaters.
Yeah.
And occasionally you can catch it free on one of the platforms.
And this movie is Saint Ralph.
I think it's on Tubi right now.
Tubi, yeah, that's what we watched on. It's also on Amazon Prime. I went on Amazon Prime later and it was there. I don't know why our TV was saying it wasn't.
Okay.
But in 1954, troublesome ninth grader Catholic private school student Ralph Walker's ill mother slips into a coma. Did she have cancer? I don't think they actually said.
They never actually said. I think it was implied.
The doctors say it will take a miracle to wake her up. That's what his nurse friend tells him. The doctors say it will take a miracle. When the coach of the cross-country team that the school's headmaster is forcing Ralph to be a part of makes a comment about how it would be a miracle if anyone from the team won the Boston Marathon, God tells Ralph, God came to him in a vision and says... Dressed as Santa Claus, which I really like that. Tells Ralph that this is the miracle needed to wake his mother. Ralph begins to train to compete in the marathon while the headmaster, who does not like Ralph very much, tries to do anything he can to stop Ralph from racing. This is just a great movie. It's another underdog story. What is so great about this one is it's not just your average underdog story. It's this 14-year-old boy that has a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Deciding he's going to race in the Boston Marathon to wake up his mom. And what's cute about it is, you know, Doc, like, that's always the cliche. It would take a miracle for this person to get better, for her, it would be a take a miracle for her to wake up. And his coach says, it would be a miracle if anyone, if you won the Boston Marathon. And so he thinks, all right, well, if it's a miracle I need and this would be a miracle, then that's what I'm going to do. And I just think it's really funny, really cute how God came to him and said, this is what you need. And that's what he did. And he got so committed to it, and he hated it. He didn't want to be a runner. He just joined the team because his headmaster forced him to. Once he got into it, he got really committed.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I liked about this movie. The determination, the focus, the transformation from a troubled youth to a determined and focused athlete. I think those are all good things that make a good sports movie.
And I like not only how he trained so hard that he was actually able to compete in one of the most prestigious races in the world, but he also earned respect amongst his classmates and even the headmaster, who didn't want him to race, considered it blasphemous that he was seeking this miracle, and really just wanted to get him kicked out of the school. When the race was going on and being broadcast on the radio, the headmaster was in his office cheering for Ralph, and all these kids at school that had bullied him and didn't like him, they're all listening to it, and they are cheering him on and are very excited for him. And just through all this training, he's earned their respect, even though before they didn't like him much.
I also think the headmaster makes a really good antagonist. Like, he didn't really have an antagonist in the races, mm-hmm. and yeah, he gets bullied by his classmates a little bit, and I suppose his life struggles are a little bit of the plot. But the main antagonist, the only person trained to stop him, is a person in authority above him who should be the only person should be the first person encouraging him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true a lot of things in life, whether it's parents or bosses or government officials or religious officials or whatever, when they're standing in the way of people pursuing their dreams and seeking things, I think that does more damage than good. And so this is one of the things I really liked about this movie, that he was kind of the headmaster was brought down through his determination to succeed, through Ralph's determination to succeed.
Yeah, and I've said this with a lot of the other movies on our list. These movies have, you know, one great main character and then a lot of great side characters. This is just like that. There's the nurse at his mom's hospital. There's the girl he likes that won't date him because she wants to be a nun. His best friend, one of the other pastors, fathers, whatever they're called at his school, becomes Ralph's coach, even though he could lose his job for what he's doing.
And really, he exemplifies what a good leadership is. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doubtful at first, but then he tries to encourage and help him to the risk of his own detriment. And I think that's a good lesson in life, that we really need to make sure that we're not limiting people's ability through our own preconceived ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially when we're in a position of authority.
Mm-hmm. Well, I highly recommend this movie. This is my favorite one on the list. It's not popular at all, but it should be. It's so great. I like that God just comes to him as Santa Claus. It's a little vulgar, a little inappropriate. But
what great movie isn't?
Yeah, just like Goon.
Or Kingpin.
Or Kingpin. Or Dodgeball. But anyways, that's all the movies on our list. Thank you for listening to I Digress, a podcast about nothing.